This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. There's been a lot of debate at the State House this year as lawmakers work out the details of a plastic bag ban, and more debate over coming up with the right source for clean water funding and what that money should go for. And then there's the budget that just passed and awaits the signature from the governor. Okay, that last one probably gave it away. I'm not talking about the Vermont legislature this time, though some of the issues are very familiar. Today we're going to look at what the New York legislature has been up to in recent weeks. And joining me now is David Lombardo, Capitol reporter for the Albany Times Union. Dave, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So passing the budget is, of course, one of the biggest yearly tasks of any state legislature. What is worth noting about New York's $175 billion budget this year?
So I think the headline actually isn't have anything to do with dollars. It's a policy. New York overhauled its criminal justice system with major changes to its bail and speedy trial laws.
Yeah, so tell us more about that. So one of the questions that we've been hearing about more and more as we look at criminal justice reform in this country and that New York has been taking a specific look at is it fair to require cash bail, or is this basically a regressive penalty for people who can't afford it, which has nothing to do with the criminality of these people? So what has New York done about that?
Right. Well, yeah, the consensus New York reached is that, you know, it is an undue hardship on low-income defendants to have to pay bail when wealthier criminals, I guess, are able to get out on bail for certain nonviolent crimes. And what New York did was basically make it so you don't have to pay bail for any misdemeanors or nonviolent felonies. And for the remaining crimes, it's up for a judge to decide whether they're going to remand someone, issue bail, or hold them just indefinitely. And one of the things that the judges are now required to do, though, in these situations is to consider whether bail would be an undue hardship for certain people. And this is going to really change the way we do pretrial services as well. So while people will be staying out of jail prior to court appearances, it's also going to be a big burden on counties who need to track these people in advance of their court appearances.
So is the way the law going to work, does that mean that the judge will have to determine whether bail is an undue burden, or is it just eliminating bail?
Only for these certain felonies. I mean, basically for any misdemeanor or nonviolent felony, you're basically free to go. Among the felony charges that will still be eligible for cash bail, if not immediate remand, are sex offenses, money laundering in support of terrorism, other sexual assault things, and a lot of very violent felonies.
I see. But even in those, then the judge would make a determination whether bail is an undue burden. Wow. And you mentioned that this could have some budget implications for the court system because there's going to be a lot more monitoring of other sorts that aren't related to whether somebody has posted bail. So what do you think those are going to be?
Well, that's a great question, and it's something counties are trying to determine right now. One of the things that we're going to see a lot more of is the use of electronic monitoring. Currently, it's very rarely deployed, and when it is, though, it's expensive. I mean, you need people who are checking these monitors, you know, around the clock. So the personnel that theoretically aren't going to have to be diverted for monitoring jails are going to be, you know, checking a computer screen or doing other probationary services to ensure, you know, check up with people, make sure they're doing whatever they need to do before a court appearance. It remains to be seen whether the savings and costs will, you know, even out.
You know, in theory, one of the reasons for eliminating cash bail is that cash bail is not really an incentive, that most people will show up anyway because they don't want a warrant out. So is there some sense that in some counties they might not do any more monitoring and just rely on the system?
No. District attorneys are, at least upstate, are, you know, reluctant to let people come back on their own. They're, especially in Saratoga County, it's a big tourist destination. Talking with the DA there, they're afraid that in the summer, when you've got people coming up for the racetrack, coming up for concerts, it's back, that you're never going to see these people again. Some of the criminal justice advocates say these fears are very overblown, especially because the ramifications of skipping out on a court appearance can be a lot worse than what you might be facing from a low-level arrest.
Hmm. Let's talk about the New York plastic bag ban. This is something that a lot of states and a lot of municipalities around the country are looking at, and New York has passed one, but please forgive the reference. There are a lot of holes in this plastic bag ban, Dave. Can you talk about how, you know, restaurants are not subject to it, other places are still going to be able to use plastic bags, and does this ban, is it really going to have have an impact?
Well, it's a real mixed bag. Thank you. Essentially, there's enough loopholes in here that you could drive a truck filled with plastic bags through it, whether it's, you know, your bags for your deli counter, garbage, your newspaper, or, like you say, for takeout and delivery, which is a big issue in municipalities like New York City. So that, you know, was left a lot of people wanting. The other problem is that the legislation doesn't include any sort of changes to what we do for paper bags. There's a fear that with plastic being outlawed, that people are going to just want to shift to paper bags. They're not necessarily going to start using reusable bags. There had been a push to have a universal 5-cent fee on paper bags. That's not the case. What's going to happen instead is a patchwork system with counties allowed to decide whether or not they want to impose the fee. And that fee would be broken up with 40% of it going to the county to reinvest in reusable bags and 60% going to the state's Environmental Protection Fund.
And this bag ban, that again, it will impact grocery stores mostly, no single-use plastic bags, but again, doesn't affect plastic forks, plastic spoons, straws. When is it set to go into effect?
So it all takes effect in March of 2020. So there's a lot of time to do education, which is a key part of making sure you don't have like a riot at your price shopper if this is something new for your community. And it also gives municipalities time to decide what they're going to do about that 5-cent fee. And this is particularly concerned for counties that have already taken upon themselves to impose fees or bans on plastic and paper, because they're going to have to decide what they want to do moving forward and how they interact with the state law.
So going back to finances and actual dollar figures, there are $500 million earmarked for clean water funding that passed the legislature. What exactly is it going to fund?
That is a great question. One of the problems that advocates have with the way that New York is appropriating this money, the problem is, while you know this money is supposed to be able to fix our pipes, make sure we have clean drinking water, the way the money is actually going to be allocated is largely up to the governor, who didn't provide a lot of specificity about how these allocations are going to be made for the Clean Water Infrastructure Act. So it remains to be seen how this money is going to actually go out the door. But you know, we know generally what it's targeted for.
And not likely to go to helping clean up Lake Champlain right on the border between Vermont and New York.
Well, you know, you wouldn't think so. You know, you would assume this is going to be some big picture infrastructure things, you know, like building stuff, but why not? You know, if there's a large enough advocacy for it, you know, this stuff can get done.
Why not? Sure, that's the way government tends to work.
Exactly.
In the budget, one of the things about the way the New York state budget works is, although you have a democratically controlled legislature and a Democrat in the governor's seat, the governor does have the ability still to make line item vetoes on the state budget. Is Governor Cuomo likely to do any of that?
So, as I reported late Friday night when the governor released 123 line item vetoes, yes, he is. Most of them are technical, whether it's things that they did in error or whatnot. But there was one fun veto of $484 million in capital project spending that was added to the by the legislature. The governor basically said that this would throw off the balance of the budget. But I think the bigger concern is that, like we're talking about with the clean water money, there wasn't really any discretion about how this money was being spent. It's largely a legislative pork money, and I think he wants to have more say in how that money is spent before they finally agree on it.
One other tidbit that might be worth discussing. I know there's obviously a lot of things we could talk about, and we're not going to talk about the congestion pricing in Manhattan, but what about moving forward on the public financing of elections? It's not a big step, but there is some forward movement.
Yeah, so essentially the legislature and governor felt enough pressure to act on this, but not enough to take any hard stances. So they punted everything to a commission that has the power to make binding recommendations later this year. And they're going to create a system that will take effect in 2022 for state races. It'll have some sort of public matching component. It'll decide how it's going to apply, how it's going to work. And theoretically, the legislature has, I think, 20 days or something like that after their recommendations to make their own changes, but as they've proven in the past, they're not really known for these profiles and courage to take hard decisions. So whatever they come up with will likely be binding.
David Lombardo is a Capitol reporter for the Albany Times Union. He's been working in or reporting on the goings-on of the New York State Legislature for about the last decade. Dave, thank you very much for talking with Vermont Edition.
My pleasure.